give it over to Pastor Andrew.
Thanks, Pastor David. Good morning. Good morning. Man, you guys sound great. That was wonderful. Hey, so listen, I have a problem with losing things. Can anybody relate to that? Maybe you lost your keys this morning. You couldn't find them on your way to church. To get to church. I have a problem with losing things. And I've gotten better over the years and stuff. But man, when I was an 18-year-old, I really got myself into a pickle when it came to losing things. You see, I was in Rwanda. I was on this mission trip. And we're there for about 3.5 weeks. It was awesome. Had a phenomenal time. And our very last full day there, we went on this safari. So we got to, you know, get in this van and we drove around and saw giraffes and lions and tigers and bears. I'm just kidding. That's no bears in Rwanda. But it was great. We had a phenomenal time. As we're about to leave, as the sun is setting, driving, about to drive out of this safari area, I go, oh no. I can't find it. Where is it? I've lost my money pouch. It has all my money. Yeah, I know, right? I lost my money. Not only was my money in there, my passport was in there. We're about to leave the country in like 14 hours. I'm about to go to college in 2 weeks. What am I going to do? And so we pull a U-E right as we're about to leave the safari, go back into the safari. The sun is setting. It's about to close. And we're just praying, Lord, help us find that money pouch. Lord, please don't let a baboon have stolen it. We're driving and praying and driving and praying, and there it is. I see it in the middle of the dirt road. And I get out of the car, and I run, and I pick up my money pouch, and I cheer, and all my team, they cheer, and we celebrate. You see, something so valuable to me was lost. It was found, and we celebrated. How is your heart for the lost? This is no longer about an item. This is about people. How is your heart for those who don't know this Jesus that we just sung to? We talk about this word lost. It means those who aren't following him, who don't know him. They're lost. We want them to be found. We want to celebrate. If you and I believe in this Jesus stuff, it means we care about those who are lost way more than any item or passport. How is your heart today for those who are lost? And as we go into our time this morning, we're going to go into one of the most well-known, most loved stories that stick in Scripture, this parable of the prodigal son. And all throughout, we see something was lost, was found, and there was celebration. How is your heart for the lost? Is your heart a gushing stream for those who are lost? Is it like the Verde River? Or is it like a stagnant pool where you just don't care? How is your heart for the lost? And what I submit to you is you and I were wired to care for the lost. We were wired to have a heart for the hurting. When we operate in that lane, we are operating how God wired and designed and created us. A life of joy and celebration and a life on mission with Jesus. But not only that, eternities are at stake. If you and I believe this Jesus stuff, eternities are at stake. This is the greatest mission to be a part of. Something was lost, it was found, there was celebration. So turn with me in your Bibles or pull up on your phone or have on the screen Luke chapter 15 as we dive into the story of the prodigal son. Luke chapter 15, we're going to start at verse 1. And as you're gearing up and getting ready there, just a little background. In Luke 14, Jesus has just given these heavy, heavy words. You want to follow me? Then take up your cross. Consider yourself dead to yourself and alive to me. Jesus doesn't water down words for the lost. He turns up the volume. He gives it full throttle. This is what it means to follow me. Which is why it's so incredible what verse 1 has to tell us of Luke chapter 15. So if you are dialed in, if you are ready for what God has for you this morning, would you say, I'm ready?
Ready.
All right, let's pray as we continue our time. Lord God, we love you. Praise the name of the Lord our God. Lord, we thank you for this space. And God, I pray for each one of my friends here. Good day, bad day, everything in between. You know exactly where they're at. I pray, God, that you would bring in this moment your peace that surpasses all understanding. I pray that you would bring just divine focus. And we just want to continue to meet with you. We devote this space to you. God, would this time not just be just going through the motions? But Lord, I pray that this would be something we can bring into our week, can bring into our marriage, bring into our parenting, bring into our workplace. May this time matter. It may be glorifying and pleasing to you. We thank you, God, for your heart for the lost. Thank you for the mission you've called us to. And would you use this time, God. I pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. What should my heart be towards the lost? Well, look with me in verse 1 as we ask ourselves, what should our hearts be for the lost? I find this phenomenal. We're going to skip a couple slides, by the way, to go to verse 1. And the verse 1, by the way, is the setup. If you're filling in or filling the blanks, the setup for verse 1 and verse 2. Verse 1 of Luke 15 goes like this. Now the tax collectors and sinners, they were all gathering around to hear Jesus. Isn't this incredible? So the sinners in Luke, it's the lowest of the low. It's the people who have jobs that were unspeakable, unfathomable, unmentionable. They're so far from God. These were the ones that were coming to Jesus to hear his message. This is phenomenal. The very ones that should have been repelled by Luke 14 are the very ones that are coming to Jesus because they want to hear more, they want to know him. So I have to ask you, are people attracted to your words? Are you like a magnet that pulls people in as you talk about Jesus? Or are you like that magnet that repels and pushes them away? And it's not about a watered-down message that attracts. It's about the truth of Jesus and his love and his heart for sinners and tax collectors. Maybe you're working on your taxes this week, by the way, and you're like, oh, those tax collectors. He loves those who seemed to be unlovable, which praise God, because that means he loves you and he loves me. But those Pharisees, man, those party poopers. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law. By the way, these are the people who knew their Old Testament. They knew their Torah, their Tanakh. They knew the whole Old Testament well in their heart. They had it memorized. They missed the boat. They muttered. They grumbled. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. And to that we say, praise God. You bet he does. This man welcomes sinners and eats with them. They say, how could he do this? You see, we find throughout Scripture, we find throughout the Gospels, the stories about Jesus, the real life stories that stick of Jesus, we see that the Pharisees miss the boat. It's easy for you and I sometimes to miss the boat. The message of Jesus is not a message of moral maintenance. I say it again, the message of Jesus is not a message about moral maintenance. It's a message about the Messiah, the one who came for you and I and died on the cross for each and every sin. That the sinners, the tax collectors, you and I committed or ever will commit. Now, when that happens, yes, there is life transformation. These tax collectors and sinners, they change, right? God changed them, but that changes from the inside out. You and I, may we watch our message. May our message not be, don't do this, don't do that, don't do this. May it be, look at our Messiah. Look what he did, and look how he's changed me from the inside out. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And so Jesus responds to these Pharisees with three incredible parables. Time won't permit us to go through all three in depth, but here's what we're going to do. Quick overview. The next parable is the lost sheep, verses 3 through 7, the lost sheep. And Jesus says, imagine that you're a shepherd and you lose one of your 100 sheep, and you go and you pursue that sheep. You find it, you put it on your shoulders, you bring it home, you call all your friends and your family together, and you celebrate. You say, I lost the sheep, I found it, let's have a celebration. And Jesus says, just so, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, who changes their ways and comes to me. There's more joy over that than 99 who don't need repentance. Jesus' words, by the way, are dripping, I think, with a little bit of sarcasm, who think they don't need repentance. He goes on then to his next parable, the lost coin. He says, imagine that you're in your home, you're in your home, and you got 10 coins, 10 drachmas. One day's worth of wages is a drachma. You got 10 of those, and somehow you lose one. And you start looking everywhere. You look under every corner and every nook and every cranny and move things around, and you can't find it, and then you find it. You find your lost drachma. And what do? You call your friends and you call your family and you celebrate. You throw a party. And Jesus says, just so, there is more joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents, who changes their way, who repents, than over 99 who think they have no need of repentance. Something was lost, it was found, there was a celebration in earth and in heaven. Jesus has set the stage for the most beloved, incredible, and I would say sometimes misunderstood parable of all time as we get into this parable of the prodigal son. So that leads us, if you're taking notes, to the next fill in the blank, the two sons. It's our next fill in the blank, the two sons. We often call this the parable of the prodigal son, but how many sons were there? Two. Just as important as the one son is the second, we will find out. So we got a few parts here. We have three parts in this parable of the prodigal son. I can't count. It's actually four. We have four parts in this parable of the prodigal son. And the first part is rebellion. Verses 11 through 16, rebellion. So let's dive into this parable of the two sons. So verse 11 goes like this. Jesus continued. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. He's saying, Dad, you're dead to me. You are dead to me. Give me my share of the estate now. I'm out of here. Can you imagine the hurt and pain in the story of the father? And the father does something so crazy. He grants it. Younger son gets a third of the estate. Jewish law, the younger son, the second son gets a third of the estate. The older gets two-thirds. You know, hey, way to go. Firstborns, any other firstborns? Way to go. If we were in Jewish times, two-thirds. So he goes and he says in I got myself distracted by the firstborn thing. Not long after that, verse 13, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and he squandered his wealth in wild living. So listen to this. So this idea of the prodigal son. Prodigal means to lose, to squander, to spend it all away. That's where we get that word prodigal. It's Latin prodigious. If you speak Latin, I'm sorry, I did that wrong probably. But that's where we get it, squandered. And so we don't know exactly what the son did, but you fill in the blanks. He gave it all up. He did unspeakable, unimaginable, unfathomable things, spending all of his wealth, everything his father had worked for. He hit rock bottom. Not only that, that's what he could control. Look at that next verse. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. This is rock bottom. So he went and he hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. And at this point, there was probably an audible gasp in the crowd. Pigs? The lowest of the low, the nastiest of creatures in first century Judaism. Pigs? They eat garbage. They're considered unclean according to Old Testament law. I was just reading about that in Deuteronomy the other day. Praise the Lord. We are, because of the new law, because Jesus fulfilling the law, we can eat bacon. Praise God. But first century, this was considered unimaginable. Not only that, it goes on, he longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. This is rock bottom. What's been your rock bottom moment? Maybe you weren't in a pig pen, but boy, you were at the end of your rope. You were lost. You were without hope. Maybe your relationship you were in gave up on you and deserted you. Maybe it was just in the throes of addiction and you just didn't know what to do. What was your rock bottom moment? Maybe today you're in your rock bottom time. But I love in this story, thank goodness it does not end here, does it? Verse 17, we get into repentance, and you're fill in the blank, repentance. We've already talked about this word a couple times. The first two parables have that word repentance. And look here, it's this fancy word that means, it's really actually quite simple. Metanoia in the Greek, it means change of mind. You're going one way, and then everything changed, and you went the other way. It's something that starts in your mind and your heart and leads to your feet. It's a total transformation in thinking. This is repentance. This is something we can only do with God's help, isn't it? Repentance, metanoia, a complete about face, a complete change. And that's what we see the prodigal son doing here. Look with me in verse 15. 17. When he came to his senses, I can't count today. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? Here I am starving to death. They're eating Nick's steaks, having a great time, and I'm here eating 99-cent cheeseburgers. I got the pigs here. How many of my father's servants have more than enough? I'm going to set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and went to his father. The son came to his senses. It's this moment of repentance. If you had that before in your rock bottom time, your rock bottom experience, maybe your decisions brought you there, or maybe like the prodigal son, his decisions brought him there, yes, but there's things outside of his control. There's the famine, there's other things going on. Maybe for you, it was the market and things falling apart. Maybe it was something unexpected at work, unexpected in your family. But whatever it was, you ended up in this rock bottom moment. And then you came to yourself. A splash of cold water on your face. You said, "I'm going back. I'm going to God." And if today you say, "Hey, I'm in the pig pen now. My decisions, my walking away from God, or I've never even been to God, have led me to the pig pen," we all collectively want to say to you, it's never too late to get out. It's never too late to come back to the Father, as we're about to see here in a moment. And what's so interesting is this prodigal son, he has his script in hand. Did you notice what his script says? Hey, I'm not worthy to be called your son. I've done too much. I get it. But just make me like a hired servant. Would you hire me? Here's my resume. Pig feeder. Would you hire me? So he takes a long journey home. You imagine the story, what's going through his head. He's maybe saying the script over and over and over again, reinforcing to himself, I'm not worthy to be a son. I'm a servant. I'm not worthy to be a son. I'm a servant. Some of us need to hear this today. You say, I've done too much. You don't know my story. You don't know my pig pen story of how far away from God I've wandered. The closest thing I can be with God is just this hired servant. That's all I'm worth. And yet we see in this parable a totally different truth about who you are and who you belong to. So as we continue on, we're going to see this next section, which is rejoicing. Rejoicing, verses 20 through 24. As the son is looking at verse 20, so he got up and he went to his father, but while he was still a long way off, the father saw him. His father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son. He threw his arms around him. He kissed him. What an incredible image. That was just as true then in first century AD as it is now in 2024 where we're sitting. We come to God with our script. I'm not worthy, God. I can't be your kid. And God sees you and runs to you and pursues you and throws his arms around you and says, you are my child. I love you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what happened to the pig pen of life. You are mine and there's nothing you can do about it. Look at this. The son, he takes out his little resume and he says, verse 21, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. What does the father do? He interrupts him. The father says to the servant, forget that script. Quick, bring the robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast. Let's celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. What a turn of events. The son expects to be treated as a servant, but instead he's treated as that son. What was lost was found. And they began to celebrate. I love how the son came with tattered robes, tattered clothes, and a royal robe was put on him. He had no shoes. Sandals were put on his feet. A ring reinforcing his role in the family was put on his finger. What was lost was found, and there was celebration. But there's more to the story. You see, we remember the fact the whole reason Jesus launches into this whole story is those pesky Pharisees and their muttering and mumbling and grumbling. Jesus has something to say to them, and maybe, just maybe, he's got something to say to you and to me. Look with me now in verse 25 as we get to the rejection. Verse 25, rejection. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. This is so interesting. Verse 28, the older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. Notice the father pursued the younger son. Now he's pursuing the older son. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never even gave me a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. I'm glad I was never given a goat to celebrate. I wouldn't know what to do with it, with my friends. But with a son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him? Notice the angst of the older brother. This is so similar to the Pharisees. How dare those sinners and tax collectors do what they do? How dare you, Jesus, receive them and eat with them? The older brother is missing out on the whole entire point. They're back in the family. They're back with me. They've experienced my love. They've lost sight of the mission. They've also lost sight, this older brother, of his own sonness, his own being part of the family. The older son says, he says, I'm a servant. Just as the younger son came with his script in hand, I'm a servant, I'm not your child, the older son has the same script rehearsed in his heart. I'm a servant, I'm not your child. But look what the father says, verse 31. My son, the father said, you're always with me. Everything I have is yours. Verse 32, we had to celebrate, be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. The father says, join in with me in the mission and in the family. You are a son too. Let's celebrate. You notice we don't know really the end of this parable. We don't know what that older son did and how he responded. Jesus leaves it open-ended to the Pharisees, but he also leaves it open-ended to us. How will we respond? Are you missing out on the celebration? Are you sitting on the sidelines doing more of this than you are pointing to the one who did this? Is your message, are your words attracting those to Jesus? Or are we repelling people away, saying, how dare they? How dare they? When they don't even know the message to begin with. Because here's what we know, isn't it? Jesus invades our lives. That's the root and what he's done. And guess what the fruit is? Yes, I'm going to live my life for him. Yes, I'm going to change things in my life, not so I can earn my way to God, because God came down to me. But when we do this, we miss the root and we go straight to the fruit. Are you missing out on the celebration? Jesus said it best in Luke 19, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Will we join him in his mission? And that is our mission, isn't it, here at Verde Valley Christian Church? We want to help people go from wherever they are to where God wants them to be. And you know what, church family? That's messy, isn't it? Because you're messy. Because I'm messy. Because every person that comes through those doors is messy. I want to be in that pig pen. I want to be in that mess. From wherever we are to where God wants us to be. I have three things for us, three next steps for us. What do we do with this? Well, number one, there's many of us in this room who say, man, I read this, and I know I've got a kid who's lost. And like that father, I'm looking out for that kid to come home, and it is crushing me. First, I want you to know I am so sorry for what you were going through. I cannot imagine the pain and the hurt of that. I want to pray with you. We want to pray with you. I want to encourage you. Would you write that down on one of our prayer cards today? Would you write that down, turn that in, that, hey, I've got a prodigal. I've got a kid who's lost. Would you pray for him? Would you pray for her? We want to join you in prayer as you spend time on your knees before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We want to join you in prayer for that, of this God who says, don't give up. Don't give up. We're here for you. We're praying for you. We're praying to the Father who never stops looking out. And we see you. And we know you're not stopping looking out and praying either. Number two, maybe you say, hey, I don't know this Jesus. I'm interested, maybe. I'm a skeptic, or I'm interested in coming back to him. I've never known him to begin with. I want to encourage you to do something. We're going to throw this up on the screen. If you want to talk more about this Jesus, you can do this. Text this word more to, this is our church number. We'd love to reach back out to you. And don't worry, you're not signing your life away or giving us your social security number or anything like that. Or, you know, giving us your bank account so we can buy dinner at Nick's. Man, Nick's is on my mind. If you guys want steak dinners after lunch, Nick's is a great place. We want to just have a conversation with you. No more your story. No more where you're at with Jesus. We'd love to talk with you. And so I just want to encourage you, take that next step. Again, maybe you're on the fence, or maybe you're saying, hey, I want to come back to God for the first time. Do that, or talk to our prayer team. The point is, take a step. The son came back in that story. He didn't do it perfectly, but he came. Would you come to God today? Third thing, we all have lost people in our lives and in the Verde Valley. You have an invite card on your seat. Would you invite them in to Easter Sunday next week? This is the time where people are the most receptive to come to church. And you never know who's coming through that doors next week. You never know whose prodigal is coming home. You never know who's never known God or heard the gospel message is coming through. Would you invite your friends, your family, your barista, whoever, would you just bring them to church? Just give them a card and say, hey, I go to this church. Come, we'd love to see you. I'll save a seat for you. It doesn't have to be a big deal. Or you can even say, hey, God's worked in my life. Jesus worked in my life. Let me tell you about him. And hey, why don't you, I'd love to have you come to church with me. People are the most receptive at Easter. The stakes are high, aren't they? Eternities are at stake. We want to join in this mission. And maybe you're sitting there, you're going, hey, I'm kind of an elder brother. I've been doing this. I've been sitting on the sidelines. I've been grumbling and mumbling. How do I get out of that? Join Jesus in his mission, starting with an invite card. Join him in his mission. I want to encourage you, that next slide here, it says, this week I'm going to invite blank to Easter Sunday. I want to encourage you, if you're taking notes, write somebody down, or maybe on your drive home, tell your spouse, tell your friend, talk about around the dinner table. Who's one person you can invite to Easter Sunday to hear more about this good news of Jesus? Wait, if you are new here, we are so glad you are here. We're all about Jesus, if you haven't heard. Fill out one of those Connect cards in the seat back in front of you. Turn it into the information center. We're going to give you a bag of pig feed in exchange. I'm just kidding. A bag full of goodies. Our way of just saying we're so glad you are here. So fill out that Connect card. We'd love to see you next week. Don't forget that prayer card. If you got somebody, you got a prodigal, you got someone you're praying for, man, put that on the card. We'd love to pray for you. We'd love to pray for anything. We've got this amazing prayer team on the side too, and they're here to pray with you as well. Don't forget Easter service next week. It's going to be great. So as we walk out of this place today, may you remember, we were lost. We were found, and God celebrates over you. Let's invite other people to join in on the celebration. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we love you. We thank you for this time. Jesus, I thank you that you pursued us. More than a sheep, more than a coin, more than a passport, you pursued us. You love us. We're your kids. God, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you yet, I pray today they take that next step. Come talk to us, or they text that number. They take that next step because you're pursuing hard after them. God, would you be with each one of my friends here? Maybe we are one of those ones on the sidelines. Maybe we've got a little bit of an elder brother in us. Would you be with our hearts? God, would you help us in this mission? And I thank you, God, just as you pursue the younger brother, you pursue the older brother. Thank you, God, you care about your kids. And so, Lord, be with each one of my friends today. Love on them. Be with them this week. We give everything about next Easter to you. We want people to know you, to grow with you, going from wherever they are to where you've called them to be. So we love you. We worship you. I praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, guys, have a great week. 8 o'clock, 9:30, 11 next week. We're kicking off a new series, Doubtless. This is perfect for anyone who was deep with Jesus or who's a skeptic and against him. Come next week. We'll see you then.